This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. The city of Athens is gleaming with fresh paint and shiny limousines as Greeks prepare to host the 2004 Olympics. It was the ancient Greeks who invented the first Grand Games 27 years ago. The Greeks also invented some of the fundamentals of democracy, a code of law, a legislature, even an impeachment process. Today, an NPR National Geographic radio expedition visits the place in Athens where these ideas took shape. As NPR's Christopher Joyce reports, the remnants of that glorious age are still being uncovered with pick and shovel.
Every 2 minutes, a commuter train runs by the spot where the philosopher Socrates was indicted for corrupting Athenian youth. That was in 399 B.C. Now the place looks like a vacant lot. Through a locked gate and down a set of stairs about 15 feet below street level, stone foundations poke up through the grass. A stray cat guards her litter of kittens.
We're now at what's known as the Royal Stoa.
Archaeologist John Camp explains that a stoa was a large civic building. The Royal Stoa was where magistrates gathered to run city affairs and conduct criminal investigations.
And Socrates and his accuser would meet here at a certain specified time, and the King Archon, having heard the case, would decide if there was enough evidence for a trial, and if so, where it would take place, when it would take place, rules of evidence and the like.
That's the way it is in Athens. Immortal monuments next to or under railroads or buildings or churches. Camp first came here as a fledgling archaeologist in 1966, Now he works for the American School of Classical Studies in Athens and at Randolph Macon College in Virginia. The Royal Stoa was part of the Agora, a city marketplace. When Athens was the envy of all Greece, both great and humble gathered at the Agora to make laws, to plan wars, or to celebrate at festivals and parades. It's the size of several city blocks at the base of the more famous Acropolis.
Think of a small New England town, and then imagine all the public buildings you need to run the city somewhere on one side or another of it.
Walk up a hill to the Hephaestion, a grand pillared building that has survived almost intact for 2,500 years, and look down on the Agora. You can see the foundations of the general's headquarters, the Athenian mint, the Senate dining hall.
These ruins here are about the most important I can think of for the history and development of Western civilization. And whether you're looking at law, architecture, show business and theater, philosophy, you can trace them back to Athens in about 500 BC.
Trace back, for example, the word ostracism.
The Athenians not only elected their officials every year, once a year they had the option of voting somebody out of office. What they would do is they would meet in the great square here, and a simple yes or no vote would be taken. Is anybody aiming at a tyranny? Is anybody a threat to the democracy?
A citizen scratched his vote on a broken piece of pottery called an ostracon and cast it into a stone box. You can find ostracons and ancient pottery, even a whale's pelvis, dug up here and kept at the school's offices inside the old agora.
If as many of you come as early to dig as come for pizza and beer, then we're going to have a very productive season. We start at 7 o'clock, and you will dig till 2.
Each summer, Camp brings university students here to dig. Today, they're working on a newly uncovered section of the Agora. It's a pit about the size of a city block, surrounded by buildings and streets lined with cafes. It took years to buy and demolish the buildings that once overlaid this site. They've already found the foundations of the painted stoa. Built about 470 BC, it was so called for its art collection.
And this is the whole reason you keep coming to the Agora. It's because one year you get an umbrella.
Michael Laffey cranks open a big umbrella to shade his work table. He's a PhD student at the University of California at Berkeley and a trench supervisor. Laffey says this is a complicated dig. Modern debris on top, then Turkish, then Byzantine, then Roman, finally ancient Greek. He calls it a big, beautiful garbage pit, full of history's cast-off junk.
because this is exactly what you're going after, right? A good example is when you look in these walls, sometimes you'll see pieces of sculpture or pieces of pot that at the time didn't seem very significant, so why not put that into a wall? But when we tear down or dismantle a wall, I mean, that's when you say to yourself, my God, that's a great piece. We love that, right?
Alafi instructs students to record everything they see. Once a layer of soil or a wall is removed, it cannot be recreated.
My name is Maria Zachariou, and I am a student at the University of Virginia.
Zachariou is Greek. She says her friends think she's crazy digging in noonday sun instead of going to the beach.
Right now we're swimming, but then afterwards we're taking layer by layer. But whatever we find every single season is very important to us. It doesn't need to be gold or even if we find a couple of coins or pots, even if they are shards and we reconstruct them, that's very important for our profession.
If anyone finds a piece of pottery or a coin, it goes to the conservation lab. Amandina Nastasiadis runs the lab. It's a job for steady hands and a deep respect for dirt.
Objects are very fragile in the earth, and as soon as you uncover them, you're exposing them to a new microclimate that they're not used to. So you have to be very careful with handling, with lifting. It's a really good idea to keep dirt that's associated with the object on the object, to not brush the object off, to not try and rub it to see what it is.
Nastasiadis says she's working for people who haven't been born yet. The pottery she's gluing back together today may wait decades for an expert to study it, just as experts are only now examining pieces found decades ago. These artifacts wait for their moment in a large basement storeroom. Rows of shelves disappear into the darkness, each groaning under a load of terracotta vases, wine jugs, and stone tablets.
Hodimos, Kalion, Thimokaru, Svetion.
John Camp reads from a stone tablet. It honors a statesman named Callias from about 300 B.C. There are over 7,000 tablets stored here. Many had been scavenged over the centuries for use as building materials.
And as I say, these are particularly good for thresholds. So whenever you go through a door in Greece, you always want to check and make sure that the block you're stepping on isn't inscribed.
Camp hoists a tablet the size of a gravestone. It's one chapter of a law code enacted in the 5th century B.C.
The original law code would have dozens of slabs like this that would go all along the back wall of the royal stoa. And that meant any Athenian citizen could go down and read in stone the entire constitution of the city.
Invaders eventually overran Athens. They buried the agora under their own cities. But the democratic ideas born there were set loose and have survived for as long as the buried limestone and marble of ancient Athens. For Radio Expeditions, I'm Christopher Joyce, NPR News.
Radio Expeditions is a co-production of NPR and the National Geographic Society. Photos and maps of Agora and a radio expedition to the site of the first Greek Olympics are at npr.org.